Readers Entertainment Radio, where variety is the spice of life.
Well, hello and welcome to Readers Entertainment Radio. I'm your host, Sheila English. Now tell me, do you believe in the paranormal? Do you believe that your dreams mean something? Well, whether you believe it or not, you're going to love our guest, author Anna DiStefano, who's going to talk to us a little bit about the paranormal and about her new book, Secret Legacy. Welcome to the show, Anna.
Hi. Thanks, Sheila. It's great to be here.
Now, before we go too far, let me let our listeners know that we do have the live chat session open. I do check that from time to time if you want to send some questions. And if you want to call in, it's 646-200-4071. You can call in and join us and ask some questions. And then right after the show, you can download the podcast if you have iTunes. I know there's a lot of you who download us from iTunes. It takes about an hour, and you can get that. And then tomorrow, up on readersentertainment.com, we'll have this show and a blog that will include any links and additional information. That'll be up on the site. So if you missed the live show and you have some questions, you can hop on over to readersentertainment.com and ask some questions there. I'll make sure to get those questions over to Anna. Now, Anna, let's start by letting our listeners know about you. I know you've won some awards. You're past president for the Georgia Romance Writers. You've written for Harlequin and Dorchester. You've got quite an impressive resume. Tell us about your career as a writer.
Yeah, interestingly enough, before all that, I was a senior technical writer and wrote computer software manuals.
not as sexy as your current stuff, Anna.
And you wonder why I'm doing this now. No, it's interesting because I've been looking at a bunch of old resumes recently, and it's kind of surprising to see where I was 10 years ago and what I'm doing now. About 10 years ago, my husband said, you know, you love to write, but you're not really in love with being a tech writer. I was writing large systems manuals for end users and for programmers, and he said, what about that fiction stuff? Why don't you write that stuff? And he's an avid reader. He's been my one of my, you know, first readers with every book, and I think I published 4 years after he said that, and I've published 15 novels in the last, I want to say, 6 years, going on 7 years. So mostly romance. I started out in category romance, writing for Harlequin and Silhouette, and specialized in romantic suspense there. And then when I decided to try mainstream, larger books for the mainstream audience, the things that I wanted to write were thrillers, but it all ended up being fantasy and science fiction. And it's kind of a mixture of suspense and thrillers and mystery, but heavy on the fantasy and dream theory. And that's what really excites me now. So.
Yeah,
I do a lot of different things.
You do. It's amazing. And we're going to talk a little bit about those genres that you were just talking about a little later in the show, because I find it very interesting. You kind of have created almost your own little side subgenre, so I am going to get back and talk to you about that. Now, in the meantime, though, I know you do workshops too, right? Tell us about some of those workshops that you're doing.
Well, again, in my former life as a tech writer, and then before that as a project manager, I actually started out in systems and computer systems. I developed and implemented computer systems and ended up writing about it. I did a lot of training, and I have a minor degree in communication. When I started writing fiction, it was important to me to learn my craft and to learn how I write best. And as I learned more about that, I got more and more excited about teaching other writers. So now I travel all over the country and even do some international work teaching other writers how to break down their process and figure out how they write. And I'm actually doing a lot of it online now. I have a ongoing blog with a writer friend of mine, Jen Talty, and I. We write every Wednesday about how we write and encourage other writers to come in and share. So it's kind of like a workshop online. And then we just started a hashtag on Twitter called, it's the #, and we write, where we're talking about craft all the time. No promotion, nobody's pimping their books, everyone's just talking about writing. So besides writing novels and having people read them, I think the best part of my job right now is working with and teaching other writers. I love it.
That's fun. Now, where's that blog at?
My blog is Anna Writes, AnnaWrites.com, and then /blog. Or if you go to my website, AnnaWrites.com, there's a link to my blog from the website.
Okay.
And I talk writing every Wednesday. I talk about publishing on Thursdays. I do, for my dream theory and metaphysics and psychic stuff, I blog about that every week, too. So it's pretty active. We have a pretty good volume of people coming in. I'd love to hear from anybody who wants to come join me.
I love it. Now, you know, I have to say the whole the metaphysics and all of that, I follow you on Facebook, so you know I see little snippets, you know, that go on up there. What do you talk about on the blog? I mean, what kind of things do you talk about there?
Well, I got drawn into writing more fantasy oriented thrillers because my whole life I've been fascinated by dream theory. And when I started writing my first thriller, it became about this woman having nightmares and dreams and the science of dream theory and how that started playing into the mystery and the suspense of her trying to figure out what was going on. And I realized I had all this pent-up interest in things that excited me as a kid and as a teenager. I read a lot of fantasy, and I've been studying it my whole life. So now I study even more of it. I'm working on another three-book series. I'm reading a lot of Michio Kaku, who writes The Physics of the Impossible and The Physics of the Future. He writes about all the ways that this stuff that's almost possible that we see in movies and TV shows actually could be possible. So when I blog, I'm blogging about a lot of my research. I'm blogging about my own experiences and dreams because I've always had a really active dream life. And I'm also blogging about some of the wacky things that happen to me in my everyday life and the explanations for it and then how that's working their way into my books. So it's interesting. It's always different. I'm pretty active. I usually talk about one psychic thing and one dream-based thing a week and then, you know, whatever else comes up in my research. So it's a lot of fun.
So you've been a technical writer. Now you're a fiction writer. So you're both a left side and a right side brain person, I think, yeah?
Yeah, well, The joke at cocktail parties when you have to write down something about yourself that nobody knows and then they circulate that around the room and they try and guess who it is. The spooky thing with me is I made the exact same thing on my SATs in math as I did in verbal. I kind of rocked the charts in both. So I'm a creative thinker, but I'm an incredibly analytical person, which makes me slightly insane. Analyzing stuff usually makes a creative person go nuts, and then letting go of all that analytical control is very hard for somebody who wants to be creative but doesn't quite know how. So there's constantly kind of this battle in my books even between being very, very careful about what I'm writing and also being very excited about what I'm writing. And it's fun. It makes me much better at revising and planning than the average writer, and then it makes me more excited when I get creative, when I get to that point, because it's still kind of new to me. I'm still that geeky girl who went to Georgia Tech and studied computers and wrote computer software manuals, and then finally somebody said, you know, you should write a novel. So it's thrilling to me every time I get into a book and get excited about a story. It's like brand new. It's great.
You know, it is a little difficult to go back and forth, and you know, I'm definitely a geek girl. As a matter of fact, I just got told I just found out I'm going to get a tour of Google next month.
Awesome!
So,
can I come? Do you need any assistance? I'll be your lackey.
Thank you. It's like I'm so excited. It's like I'm looking for people. It's like who would think this is so cool? It's like I'm just such a geek. I love it.
Promise me when you get back, or you'll come blog about it on my blog.
Oh, you know it. Any little snippets that I can share, I will absolutely do that.
Yeah, the social networking movie that just came out.
Uh huh.
All over that movie. I think I went to college with people like that. I married somebody like that.
Oh,
so.
My gosh.
Really cool.
That's great. Now, Secret Legacy's out. So
yes.
let's talk about that story first. Can you give us
a
synopsis of that?
let's
let our listeners know a little bit about the actual story. Tell us about the story.
This is the second book in a right now two-book series that I'm hoping to extend. And it's actually the book I wanted to write first. Unfortunately, the story, these two first two books is about twins, and the first twin had to have her story first in order for me to get to Sarah Temple, who's the protagonist, the heroine of Secret Legacy. Basically, the story opens in a nightmare, and it ends in a dream. The whole book is this series of dreams in and out of reality, and my twins are psychic, and they're very powerful psychics who don't yet know how to control their power, and Secret Legacy opens with Sarah Temple having a nightmare where she's searching for a lost little girl who's screaming to her for help. Nobody believes the little girl is real, and Sarah is putting everyone in danger by psychically trying to find this child in her dreams because her dreams are still too unstable. And it's a battle. It's a battle over her mind. It's a battle over the little girl. It's a battle over their legacy, the twins' legacy, and how powerful it is. Secret government scientists are trying to covertly experiment with their powers and turn them into weapons. And then there's this group of psychic warriors that are trying to stop everybody who's infringing on the psychic realm, which is this group of families that have legacies like my two twins. And so everybody is fighting over all of this. And really what's really happening is Sarah Temple has to learn how to trust herself, trust her abilities, trust her power, trust her control. So it's also a woman's journey. It's a love story. It's a family story. And it's a mystery and a suspense because we're racing trying to find this little girl before she gets turned into a weapon of mass destruction, basically, because she's more powerful than the two twins put together. So it's a really exciting concept. It's a lot. It's a lot going on. And the first book was even more fast-paced. Dark Legacy came out a couple of years ago, and it's been re-released in trade as Sci-Fi Fantasy. It just hit a bunch of lists on Amazon Kindle because they were doing a promotion for it. So I'm super excited about the whole series.
Now, you know, you're talking about all these different elements of fantasy, and there's some romance, and there's a lot going on in the books. Now, you call this paranormal fantasy, not paranormal romance or fantasy sci-fi. What is paranormal fantasy, and why do you consider your books to be in that category, say, more than like a paranormal romance or sci-fi?
Well, when I first started writing Dark Legacy, I wanted to write mainstream thrillers, and then the paranormal element showed up, and every publisher that looked at it that loved it said the thriller audience is one male, and typically, you know, not looking for the heavy romance that was in it. And also, the paranormal elements don't work. Why don't you try and make it a romance? So I tried to make it a romance, and it didn't work as a romance. It wasn't a traditional urban fantasy or paranormal romance. It really was a thriller. And then Secret Legacy started in dreams. And the dream theory that I had started in Dark Legacy really became this psychic fantasy land where I think three-fourths of the book happens in some form of dream sequence, whether the person is controlling it or they're awake or not. We're really not working in an everyday contemporary world. It's this slightly not quite there world of contemporary psychic fantasy is what I call it. And it's something that could almost be happening to you or to somebody near you if you could just believe it was real. It's so real that you can imagine it happening around you. And I liken it to the movie Inception. I've had a lot of people compare my books to that, where the dream theory behind Inception and my books is based on lucid dreaming and shared dreaming techniques and psychics going into other people's minds and controlling their realities by programming their dreams. And that's something you could almost believe could happen if there were such a thing as psychics being able to modify behavior and modify your dreams and really get into your head. And I'm taking it even further in the next three books I'm writing by studying another family and studying different types of metaphysics. And it's cool. It's not paranormal. It's not straight romance. It's really not a straight thriller. It's really more the psychic, very contemporary, but fantasy world that I'm constructing kind of in the everyday around us. So as you can tell, I break all the rules. I don't write inside the box, and I'm loving it, so it's great.
So now tell me, what kind of research do you do for a series like that? I know you named a few things earlier when we were talking about the blog, but do you have to research each book individually, or do you just have a bunch of metaphysics books laying around? How do you do that?
I read a lot of nonfiction because it entertains me, and I've been studying dreams my whole life. So the first book was much easier. The second book I had to dig even deeper for my ideas. What I do is I'll pick up a book. I'm looking at Physics of the Future right now. Michio Kaku, he's the guy that does Physics of the Impossible. I think you've seen it on the Science Channel or the Sci-Fi Channel. And I'm reading through it because I have an idea for these three siblings, and I already know what their psychic abilities are, and I'm trying to figure out how to deconstruct the brain. I'm trying to figure out how to make all this make sense from a science standpoint, because even though it's not straight sci-fi, my books are very much science fiction, and science fiction readers love them. with Secret Legacy, I had to go deeper into my dream, so I pulled out all of the books I've been reading about dream theory, and I start flipping through it, trying to find ways to make the lucid dreaming and the shared dreaming and the ability to modify behavior and realities based on your dreams. I had to pull that out of the nonfiction books I use. So I'm not following one method, and I'm not doing anything strictly scientific like a lot of sci-fi writers do, but I do go back. I read a lot. I remember what I read. I'm kind of a geek, remember? And I go back to my research and back to my books, and I find ways to make it seem as real and plausible as possible. And then I create from there.
You know, I underwent hypnosis therapy before, a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And anybody who's ever done that, and it was done through a professional, it was professionally done. And, you know, you're talking about lucid dreaming, you're talking about all these, you know, I really believed hypnosis can work for some people. I think
right.
I think it really can. So how is it different? How would be something like you know, using hypnosis to help you quit smoking, lose weight, whatever that's going to be, you know, or recall something? You know, how close is that
to being real? Exactly. That's the whole backbone of me getting excited about the science in these books, is how close is this to really being possible? If you could just suspend belief this one way, could this really happen for you? And I think, I don't know as much about hypnosis as I do about dreams, but I do believe the mind is an incredibly powerful part of us, and it's where our subconscious does its work, when a lot of times we can't consciously deal with things. And I think what people are doing with hypnosis and what dream scientists teach people to do with their dreams is they teach you to pay attention to the clues and the signs and the subconscious things that are happening in your life that are playing out on another stage of your consciousness. You go into a dream and you may see weird and crazy things, but what that's doing is reflecting back a part of your reality, and how you feel about that, how it motivates you to behave in your everyday life, that's what's important. What I focus on a lot in these first two books is the emotions that come back through to your real life from your dreams. That's what's important. Not, some people are afraid of their dreams. They're falling, or somebody's killing them, or somebody's strangling them. And what's happening is you're starting a new phase of your life. You're feeling threatened by change. Or people who, and I've blogged about this recently, people who feel like they see their teeth being knocked out in dreams. Your teeth are what bar you from speaking, or they're the things between what you need to say and the world. So when your teeth are falling out in your dreams, for instance, you have something that you need to say that it's time for you to say. Maybe you've been holding it back. Maybe you've been repressing something. So typically, I've just put up a dream interpretation post on my blog last week. If you're dreaming about your teeth falling out, more often than not, you have something that you need to say to somebody that you've been holding back, and it's your mind's telling you it's time to go ahead and say it.
That
not
is
that
so.
Your teeth are in danger or anybody
right.
threatening it, but that you have something important to say. And then whether you're getting that information from hypnosis or from dream interpretation, you can reflect on your life and figure out what that thing is. And I think that's pretty cool. That's your mind working for you when you still aren't aware of what you're trying to work on. It's pretty cool stuff.
You know, and I'm going to take it a step further and just kind of share this with you, because, you know, I know, you know, we're talking about things that you remember from your dreams and interpreting those dreams, but I've actually had physical reactions to my dreams where when I wake up from the dream, as I'm waking up, I would have sworn on a stack of Bibles that I just heard somebody say my name in the room. Like, it
right.
really, not from inside my head.
Right.
From outside the room.
Right.
I mean, and it's startling, but then I realize that somehow I brought that forth with my dream.
Right.
And it affected my senses. Do you have you read anything about that?
I have. A lot of people believe, and not necessarily rightfully so, but a lot of people believe that those that have crossed over to another reality can talk to us through our dreams. What scientists tend to believe is, and what reality in our dreaming minds is, when we sleep, when we go into a REM state or a dream state, your body becomes paralyzed, usually, so you don't act out your dreams. That's why when people are sleepwalking or sleep driving sometimes, they'll tell you that what's happened is the part of your brain that's supposed to shut off your ability to act out your dreams somehow has misfired. And it's not as common as it seems. You know, you hear about people sleepwalking all the time. What's happening to you is, yeah, parts of your dreaming world are starting to cross over into your reality. Somehow you got pushed out of that dream state and back into consciousness a little too quickly. And there's a term for it I can't remember off the top of my head, but there's this near sleep period in between sleeping and waking where all of that is supposed to shut down and you're supposed to reawaken. And the thing that basically paralyzes us and keeps us from acting out our dreams shuts down. And you probably woke up suddenly or something startled you, and your brain didn't have that time to transition. But at the same time, I've had, I believe, precognitive dreams. I've gone to sleep at night with math problems and computer problems in college and woken up the next morning with a solution.
Uh-huh.
I've gone to sleep with plotting problems from a story I'm writing and woken up knowing how to solve the problem in my story. And I have had that deja vu feeling where I know I've been here before, but it's probably a dream, and yet it's happening in reality. I've had a lot of really cool stuff like that happen. So, yes, there's a scientific part of this, but I do believe that there's a subconscious psychic part of this that kind of ties it all together, and that's what I play with a lot in my stories, the what if this were really real part of it.
Yeah, and I'll just say I do believe there are people who have psychic abilities, and you know, or perhaps there's a way to tap into a psychic ability, and we all have it, and some of us can tap into it, and some of us can't. Because I've had one that was really remarkable to me was I woke up and I call it dream residue, this whole emotional feeling that something was wrong with my best friend.
Yeah.
So, and it was so real to me. I called her, and when she picked up the phone, she was crying.
Yeah.
And at the time, I never questioned it. I just said, "I'm on my way," and I went. And she had had a tragedy, but I woke up. And then later on, she said, "How did you know?" I don't know how I knew.
Well, the thing that the dream science explanation for that is that we're all connected through something called the collective unconscious, and that
I've heard of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's what I use in all of these books, and it's what I'll use in my next three. I've been studying psychic children, and I've been studying communication and how do we communicate with the afterlife and with other people. And even in dreams, what they'll tell you, if you believe this sort of thing, like people sharing the same dreams or people having precognitive dreams, we're all connected through a collective unconsciousness where we all are feeling and experiencing, and all that gets put into one central consciousness, and we can tap into it or not. There's a theory that everybody's psychic. You just don't, you're not aware of what your abilities are, or you don't want to believe, and you're not connected with everybody else's abilities. But the theory behind what happened to you was you were experiencing an emotion with somebody else over time, and that's a different type of psychic ability. But you were basically experiencing empathy, psychic empathy, and it came through in your dreams, because when you're dreaming, your defenses go down. And your lack of belief in other things kind of gets desensitized, because you're not thinking consciously, you're thinking subconsciously. And there are those that believe that we can communicate and travel and share experiences through our dreams, but a lot of times we don't remember. Our brains are wired where we don't remember our dreams. So it really is work. It's hard work to get into your dream life and remember it, and maybe even program your dreams so that you're saying, I need to work on this. I'm going to dream about this tonight. And there are people that believe you can do that. But I've had the same experience. I've woken up with the sense that a friend of mine was going through a major life change, and I'd called her and said, you know, I had this crazy dream that you were going through this. And she goes, well, now that you mention it. And she hadn't told anybody, but it was probably because I had been picking up on clues from her over time. And they were just starting to play themselves out in my dreams. And at the same time that she was moving in that direction, I was sensing it when I was with her, because I'm a pretty empathetic person myself. I sense a lot of other people's emotions and issues. And it all kind of came together at the same time, me dreaming about it and her actually going through what she actually decided to do. And it was a very boo-rattling moment to call her and say, you know, I had this crazy dream, and to hear her say, well, I just decided to do this. Wow. Yeah, it's kind of scary, but kind of cool at the same time, right?
Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah. Now tell me, I mean, because I could talk about, this is so immensely interesting to me, and I really could see how, because I don't think I've ever even heard of somebody writing a book similar to what you have, and I'm so interested in the material and the fact that you really researched these, and the fact that it's so close to reality and to possibilities that could actually potentially open up to us in the future. It just, to me, it just kind of is the spice of the book, and I could talk about it forever.
And that's kind of how my publisher, I'm not easily promotable. I'm not writing romance. I'm not writing urban fantasy, which is the more vampire and werewolf and sexy demons sort of thing. I'm not writing straight sci-fi or thriller or paranormal. And I guess the way my publisher has decided to do this with me is that I'm writing something different. There's no way to describe what I'm doing, and I've tried to make it fit into these boxes, and every time I do, what I'm talking with you about tonight and what you're finding in my books is what happens, because that's what's exciting to me. I really do want to take all of these things that could possibly be real, that some people believe and some people don't, and play them out on this really fantastic, entertaining, thrilling stage and see what happens, because I could talk about it all night long and bore your listeners to death, but it's really what I'm enjoying most writing right now. I think that's the best way to describe it. Whatever it is, I love it.
What kind of people are reading your books?
I'm hearing a lot of romance readers read them initially. A lot of people love them. Some people didn't understand them. The people who love these, the Dark Legacy and Secret Legacy, that love this series really, really love it. And the people don't get it want to throw it against a wall because it's not traditional genre anything. I'm starting to pick up a lot of sci-fi and fantasy readers. My publisher decided to repackage me as sci-fi fantasy, and that has been a great fit because those readers are willing to suspend disbelief. They love the science. I think what didn't sit well with a lot of romance readers is I spend a lot more time on the science of it than they probably like and less on the relationship, even though the relationships are strong. On the sci-fi fantasy side, they're used to seeing the community and the relationships, but they're digging the real scientific parts of this, and I'm planning to go even deeper into that. And then a lot of paranormal readers are finding it for the psychic aspect, because I'm not doing wizards and witches and that thing. This is different. So people that are finding it that can appreciate it for what it is and not wish it was more romance or wish it was more urban fantasy, those paranormal readers are really loving the psychic aspects of it. I'm getting a lot of questions about dreams now on my blogs and in my emails. So, and I'm hoping that continues when I get into the more, the different type of psychic abilities that I'm going to be touching on next. So I'm thrilled. I think I've found a new genre I never thought I'd be writing in. I never thought I'd be writing sci-fi fantasy, even though I loved it growing up, and suddenly here I am doing it, and that's pretty cool.
So what's next for you?
I have another 4-book series into Harlequin. I haven't submitted anything to them for a while. It's been a crazy couple of years. So hopefully they'll pick me up, and that'll be more family-oriented, family dramas, which should appease my romance fans. But I'm working on a 3-book series about another family of psychic kids, 3 kids, a sister and 2 brothers. They're grown up. They're the children of the same father. They all have had different mothers, and none of them know that the other ones exist, except for the father, and the father is the one that carries the psychic legacy, and he's been kidnapped, and the grown children end up not necessarily liking the guy very much, but they end up coming together to not just protect him, but to protect their powers, because the government's coming after them too. They have these amazing abilities to communicate and infiltrate and control other people's minds, and the government wants to, again, turn that into some sort of global weapon, a direct strike, long distance weapon. So, but I'm experimenting with all of that, and I'm hoping to have the proposals into a publisher sometime this summer.
Now, we have about 45 seconds. Where can people find you? I know. The time just went by. Where can people find you online?
I'm all over Amazon and Kindle. My Dark Legacy is 99 cents on Kindle. Secret Legacy will be 99 cents and $2.99 all next month on Kindle and Barnes & Noble. It'll be free on Barnes & Noble. They're giving away on Nook. And then I'm at annawrites.com, A-N-N-A-W-R-I-T-E-S.com.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Anna. It's been fun.
Thanks, Sheila.
And thank you to our listeners for joining us here at Readers Entertainment Radio. You can download the podcast on iTunes or on Blog Talk Radio. And don't forget to check out the blog on readersentertainment.com. I'm Sheila English, your host, and thank you for joining us.
This show brought to you by Circle of Seven Productions, www.cosproductions.com. Please be sure to subscribe and welcome to our circle.